This podcast deals with issues about LGBT families and trans-specific topics. We would love to hear from you and welcome your questions and comments. However, we will not tolerate any discriminatory language or hate speech. So please, just don't do it. Enjoy the show. I guess the best way of looking at it is that, no, we don't belong in a romantic relationship. We really shouldn't live together. And we both love each other, but we've spent years unnecessarily hurting ourselves in an effort to not hurt each other.
When we were kids, we met at camp.
After college, we got married.
10 years later, we finally had a baby.
That same year, I came out as trans.
This is the story of our journey.
Through marriage,
parenting,
gender,
and all the changes that life brings.
This is
Our Life in Transition.
Drank my milk already. I'm sad.
I'm sorry. Would you like some iced tea?
No, that's okay.
You can make more chocolate milk.
I know, but they with chocolate milks, whenever I like drink it, it's like gone in like half a second.
Cause you chug it.
Oh, it's delicious. So yeah.
I'm sorry.
It's not fair.
You need self control.
Nonsense. Anyway.
Nobody wants to hear you complain, least of all me.
Jesus Christ. Is this a thematic intro?
Maybe.
Well, hello everyone.
Hello.
My name is Shannon.
And I am Rachel.
And welcome back to another delightful and interesting episode of Our Life in Transition. So we're going to do things a little bit different today.
Yes.
Yeah. What you're used to is us bantering back and forth, and
it's delightful.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
And hilarious.
We're going to take that all away from you this week.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. You just get to listen to each of us individually droning on.
Yeah.
Please don't tune away.
Yeah.
Come back. No.
Yeah.
We promise it'll be interesting.
Yes, interesting droning.
Yes.
But in any case, so what we are doing this week is kind of individually talking about our relationship. We had an episode, was it 2 episodes ago?
2 episodes ago.
Talking about where we are and what we're doing and what our relationship will be moving forward as we are separating. But, you know, being that we had a lot of back and forth, it was more of us talking about it and not necessarily expressing how we individually felt. So we thought that we would kind of do something differently and each of us take some time to do that.
Yes.
Was that succinct enough?
You're the soul of brevity.
That's me. Anyway. So I'm going to go get some more chocolate milk and I guess I'll just leave you to your own devices then.
Okay. Bye.
Bye.
Hello, everybody. This is Rachel. Forgive my voice because I'm just getting over a pretty awful upper respiratory. It wasn't COVID. I'm fine. But my voice is a little wonky. So Shannon is not here with me. I mean, she's here. She's in the house. I didn't like murder her or anything. But she's not here in the room with me. And really the main reason to do that is, you know, people always think that, you know, we're not ourselves when we're talking to each other. You know, I don't know if they think like it's a hostage situation or something where I won't say something in front of Shannon or she won't say something in front of me. It's not really like that. But so we figured we would both do kind of a separate our own perspectives on what's going on with us. So that's what we're doing. And this is my portion. So, I mean, you know, how things got to be this way is, it's a long story. We started out, we brought childhood and family and teenage trauma to our relationship when we started. And I think part of our relationship started because we were both hiding from those things, which is not the best way to start a relationship. But I also don't think that when we were 15, we realized where we were going to get to. I mean, it was just a, you know, ooh, I have a boyfriend, ooh, I have a girlfriend thing. You know, not, we weren't all that serious. Like, I don't know, maybe Shannon was. So it didn't start from the healthiest place. And then, you know, we both suffer from a fair amount of selfishness and ego. And I think that everybody in every relationship does to an extent. But I think we have different kinds of selfishness. Excuse me while I open my soda. Shannon is very selfish with her time. She's very selfish with what she's putting her energy toward, you know? And if she doesn't have time for you, she doesn't have time for you. And that's just it. Which, I mean, is okay to an extent, because then you have somebody on the other side like me who just gives and gives and gives and gives and gives until they fall over and then gets mad that someone has asked them to keep giving. So I don't have the selfishness with my time that maybe I should, with my time and my energy, but I'm very much a scorekeeper, and I know that about myself, and I'm very much a, maybe you don't think that you're getting what you want from me or what you need from me, but I'm paying the bills, or I'm doing the running around, or I very much keep score on those kinds of things, on the practical everyday things. And so there's selfishness on both sides, and it leads to lots of little skirmishes all the time, and always has. And yet somehow we have not noticed the red flag there. And of course, you know, going back to our upbringings and things like that, you know, we have created a very tangled codependency. Shannon is dependent upon me financially, and emotionally, and I am dependent on her emotionally and also physically, because I can't do all the things that I want to do all the time. So that is difficult. And, you know, Shannon is always looking to me for validation. I guess I am, to an extent, looking to her for validation. We really have our personalities and our everything wrapped up in each other, you know, which is really, like, unfortunate, because, like, when you reach a point where you can't talk to the other person because either you're fighting or you can't get to them, you know, physically, or you can't get a hold of them on the phone, or whatever it is, you know, things start to crumble very quickly when you can't reach the other person, either physically or emotionally or anything like that. And that's not a good place to be in. You know, it's not good that, like, if I call Shannon and she doesn't answer the phone, I freak out or get, like, super anxious or keep ringing the phone 1,000 times until she does answer, and then get mad and want to know why she didn't answer. Like, that's not healthy. It's not healthy for me, because I shouldn't be that wrapped up in Shannon that when she doesn't answer the phone, I freak out. It's not healthy for her to have to be on call all the time. and vice versa, you know? So it's difficult that way. And I mean, our personalities are very, very different. And I mean, I guess opposites attract to an extent, but opposites attract, but they don't necessarily, gel, long-term, you know? I am a emotionally very cool person most of the time. I'm calculating. I suss things out rationally. I make decisions based on lists of pros and cons and what puts us at the best advantage overall, even if it takes a while to get there. That's not where Shannon is at. Shannon is a very, Shannon feels a lot. She's sensitive. She's, ruled by emotion a lot. I mean, she'll make decisions, but it takes her forever to get there. And she's not, I don't think she always makes decisions based on rational calculations. She's a bit of a dreamer, which is not bad. And I mean, the traits that we have can complement each other. They can also annoy the fuck out of each other. Especially when it feels like we're constantly at loggerheads and, we're not really willing to compromise. I'm not really willing to compromise rationality for a dream, or a big reach. I'd rather play it safe. And Shannon's not willing to sacrifice one moment of happiness for stability. And I think, you know, that it's a tough place to be in. So we've gotten to this point and we made the decision and, you know, we've both decided that it's time. The problem is my mind is made up, and once I make up my mind, I'm like, okay, this is the decision that we've made. How do we execute what decision has been made? And I'm very rational. Okay, we need to do this, we need to do this, we need to do this. Sign the papers, let's go. And Shannon is very not that. And I mean, I understand it's a bigger move. I'm staying where I am. Shannon is the one that will be moving. So, I mean, there's a lot of stuff that she has to do as far as getting a place to live and transportation and a job and all these little things, you know. We're talking about who's going to have what furniture and stuff like that, which is a little cart before horse, I guess, but it makes me feel like we're making progress. And, you know, I think Shannon feels a little stuck, which is understandable, and I get it, but I'm very much like, okay, you have a list of things that you need to do, start doing. And Shannon is wrestling with emotions and fear. And, you know, Shannon has never been on her own, to be fair, neither have I. But I was a little more independent at college, and I'm the one who kind of has my shit together. Anyway, so I'm kind of like, hurry up and go, and Shannon is not there yet. And then, you know, on top of that, you know, because we announced this, people know. I mean, we didn't, like, make a big announcement and, like, hey, we're getting a divorce. But, I mean, it's out there. And people do know about it. So then we're, like, dealing with other people's opinions and stuff. And I'm dealing with other people's opinions. My family has a lot of them. Most of which I've just kind of brushed aside or said quite frankly that it's not their business and things will happen when they happen. But like, I have coworkers and family and Facebook friends and friends of family and everybody and their brother who has something to say. And they range from it's about time to well, when is this happening, to well, don't you think you could stick it out? And to them I say, mind your business. It's hard to navigate this. There's a lot of things that need to be untangled, physically, financially, emotionally, and we're doing it very slowly because it hasn't hit a boiling point. I mean, it's not like a divorce where, you know, somebody's cheating or something like that and you throw all their clothes out on the lawn and slam the door. Like, it's not like that. So we're trying to be methodical. We're trying to do what's best for our daughter and what's best for each other, you know, because it's not that I don't love Shannon. Like, I don't want her hurting. I don't want her living in a refrigerator box. You know, I joke about it, but I don't, you know, I don't want that for her. And I want her to be, you know, at least in a place that is safe, you know, and there really isn't a rush. There's a rush for everybody else. Because a lot of people are like me and say, oh, you've made a decision. Well, finish it. Get through it. And yes, but also, you know, there's a lot of navigating and stuff that needs to happen. And there's compromises and legal crap that needs to be dealt with our daughter and stuff like that. And so it's not going to be on anybody's timeline but ours. I think that pisses some people off. And I also think it pisses people off that we're like, some people have said, you know, you should get counseling and you should stick it out. And we've done counseling. It was mildly productive. But it's not that we're having problems per se. It's just that we're not on the same road anymore. So, I mean, I don't know what, I don't think that there's anything that counseling can do regarding that. I mean, we're just going in different directions. And if we stick it out because we want to get to some crazy milestone and brag that we have this long relationship, one or both of us, probably both of us, is going to be absolutely miserable. And it's not worth being miserable and being held back from what you really want for longevity's sake. So I get people's advice and people's concern. But in the end, you know, as we have always done, we're going to do what we do, how we do it. And for that, it's going to be a fairly slow process, probably slow enough to slowly drive me insane. But I hope that in the end, you know, we'll come out the other side. And, you know I keep talking about, okay, we've made a decision, it's time to go. And I'm sure it sounds like I don't care. And it's not that I don't care. It's just that I've gotten to the point where my emotions are no longer tangled up in what Shannon thinks, feels. You know, I'm no longer bending over backwards for, you know, a compliment or any, like, I'm at the point where it doesn't bother me if she doesn't like what I made for dinner. It doesn't bother me if my clothes aren't to her taste. It doesn't bother me if she says, I want to go somewhere and leave you at home with our daughter. And that doesn't bother me. Just like you know, I'm not saying, hey, is it okay if I go spend the day with my sister? I say, hey, that's what I'm doing, you know? And I think we're not pussyfooting around each other anymore. It's very freeing to not be always worried about making another person happy and making sure that that other person is getting what they need regardless of you. I mean, of course, we're still doing that with our daughter because she's a little person and she needs that. And she's not yet at that point where I can say, go and be free and do what you want to do, you know. But I can say that with Shannon, and that's basically what we're doing, is saying, you know, go be free. Stop worrying about me. Stop worrying about my physical limitations. I'm going to stop worrying about your emotional limitations. You know, we're going to, you know, make our own path. I'm not looking forward to living alone. I mean, I won't be alone. I have a crazy dog and a crazy child, and other family close by. But, you know, when Shannon used to work really late, you know, and it was just me in the house, I would stay up till she came home, you know. And it's going to be very weird to not have somebody coming home, you know. So I'm not looking forward to that. And I'm not looking forward to not having anybody to bounce ideas off of and not having anybody to bitch about life with. Although, you know, maybe we'll get to that point. But I'm sad. It's not that I'm not sad. I'm sad, but I also am keeping in mind that it's the best thing that we could be doing. And so that keeps me from being distraught. And you know, as far as the future goes, you know, I'm hoping that we can keep everything very amicable and stay amazing friends. You know, I keep using the mall example, but I really do hope, you know, we'll go out and have lunch together, you know, depending on where Shannon ends up, because of course that makes a difference. But, you know, I hope that we'll be able to, you know, still have some phone calls, you know, catch up with each other, and maybe go out to lunch, you know. I still want to do things as a family, you know, because we have to co-parent, and I don't want, you know, our daughter to miss out on a lot of stuff. If Shannon's in the area, you know, I certainly, you know, assume that she'll be having holidays with us, or we'll be having holidays with her, you know, unless she meets somebody and wants to, you know, have a holiday with just our daughter, and that's fine too. But you know, so that stuff to be determined and far off down the road. But that's what I hope for. I hope we have a good friendship and a working parenting relationship, because you know, that's always what we've had is a good, above all, is a really good friendship. And I think, you know, not being tangled up romantically, we could maybe get back to that really good friendship that we started with. And I'm also hoping that, you know, this is a step for both of us into self-care. Because I think both of us, because of the codependency that we're in, have neglected ourselves in favor of the other person. So I'm taking this opportunity to, you know, go to therapy and get in a healthier brain space. And I think, our separation is going to put me in an even healthier brain space. And that might help me a little bit physically too, you know. Anxiety, depression, all of that, you know, does a number on you physically and mentally. And so, you know, I'm hoping that when all is said and done and the turmoil is all over and we find a new normal, we will, you know, both be healthier people, physically and emotionally and mentally. As for me, I don't anticipate, another relationship anytime soon, if at all, you know, 'cause I mean, Shannon is still my person, and I don't think that that's something that can be replaced or something like that. Now, you know, I guess never say never, but I don't see it. I'm not looking for it. And, if it happens, it will be because I tripped and fell ass backwards into it. 'Cause I'm not, I don't think I'll ever actively seek out, a romantic relationship. But that's me. And, Shannon may, and Shannon should, and if she does, you know, I hope that they will be, not freaked out about me, and will be, good for our daughter. But, so there we are. I just, this is probably boring for you guys because, you know, there's not all of the wonderful, back and forth that we have, but I really just, felt like people wanted to hear honestly from each of us individually, how we each are individually and what our thoughts and feelings were, surrounding, the divorce and everything. And so now you do. And Shannon will have her say, and then we'll mash them all together. And, yeah. But thank you for listening. I don't think that the podcast is going anywhere anytime soon, because Shannon's not going anywhere anytime soon. No, but I think that even from a distance, we'll figure out how to do stuff, because, I mean, aside from transitioning, gender-wise, I mean, this is a big transition, for both of us, so, and after all, the show is called Our Life in Transition, so we're still in transition, you know, to a new phase of us, and, we'll see where it goes. I'm excited for it, because I think that there's gonna be some pain, and there's gonna be some difficulty, and you know, neither of us is going to have an easy time of it, but at the end, there's going to be an opportunity for a lot of new, beginnings, for both of us. And so I'm hopeful that the going through it is not too traumatic, that we can get to the other side, with a positive outlook. So thank you for listening. Bye. Thanks again for listening to the show.
If you like what you hear so far, subscribe so you never miss an episode. Also, be sure to share with your friends and family so they can enjoy as well.
This podcast is made possible by listeners like you. Thank you for your support.
Well, hello everyone. This is Shannon. If you are hearing any kind of weird buzzing in the background, that's probably because people have been doing landscaping outside. I think they're done now, but I've been trying to do this all morning, and they have been impeding me. So let's give this a go. So as you guys probably understand at this point, we are doing this a little bit differently. I hope that you enjoyed Rachel's half of this episode. I have no idea what she said. I'm sure... I will find out whenever I go to edit it, but as of right now, while I'm recording this, I have no clue what she said. But I mean, we have some, you know, broad kind of topics, so we're on the same page talking about the same things, but what we actually have to say is entirely up to us. And it's, you know, the same story from two different perspectives. So, you know, this is hard. This is hard to talk about. I'm not gonna lie. I actually meant to record this yesterday, and I didn't have it in me. But we both have a lot of work on ourselves that we have to do. And not just work from, you know, stuff that has happened since we have been together. But I mean, like we said in the last episode, we came into our relationship with a lot of baggage. And everybody does to some extent. Every relationship, you have to try to navigate that. As we kind of alluded to a little bit before, like, you know, she has her set of experiences before we got together. I mean, as far as I go, like, I was very, I wouldn't say repressed, but, you know, I kind of had a very specific box that I was in as a kid. And coming into our relationship, in hindsight, I was not in a great place. When you are a teenager, everything seems big and everything seems important, and you're not necessarily doing deep self-reflection. But, you know, I came into our relationship looking for a way out from my current situation, an escape of some kind. And, you know, I'm too much of goody-two-shoes, and I didn't go start drinking or doing drugs or, in a lot of ways, you know, when we got into our relationship, I was kind of finding an escape in another person, which is not healthy. And, you know, growing up, like, my mom had a lot of disabilities, you know, and I was always kind of her right-hand person. And to a large extent, like, you know, we've talked a little bit about, you know, my relationship with my dad, which is not good. But my mom and I spent a lot of time, you know, leaning on each other. And so when I came into my relationship with Rachel, I was kind of primed for, like, hey, let me take care of you. And I used to talk about that as, like, yes, I saw Rachel. Rachel was sad, and I'm going to take care of her. I never want to make her sad. I always want to comfort her and be there for her. And, you know, that's great in theory, but, you know, when it's more of a savior complex, and you're getting into a codependent relationship where I'm always trying to be supportive, I didn't necessarily express my needs. And not that it didn't come across, but I was used to bottling shit up because, you know, we didn't talk about what was going on at home. That shit stayed at home. I was very vocal when we were at home, but, you know, I kept it to myself. And so that kind of translated over to our relationship in that, you know, whenever we were having any kind of issues, it stayed between us. We kept it to ourselves. We didn't go and find an outlet, talk to somebody, get advice or help in trying to work through it. Which is not good. That's not, you know, healthy. You can't just bottle everything up because sooner or later it's going to explode. And I very fervently fought against people who were dismissive of our relationship because we were so young. I mean, we were young. We were children. And, you know, even when we got to college, we had a lot of growing up to do. And, you know, neither one of us was prepared for the emotional turmoil that college is. It's a lot. And, you know, there's a level to which, because I was so enamored with the idea of I'm in this stable relationship, I am, you know, Rachel's emotional support, I am there for her, that the behavior that we had established wherein I'm like, I don't talk about my feelings like I should, persisted. And whenever I did talk about my feelings, it would be like because I was bottling them up forever and now I'm angry and they're coming out all at once. And, you know, there was a lot of hurt that happened in college. And because we were so young, we didn't know how to handle it. We didn't know how to process it. We didn't know how to express how it was making us feel, what it was doing to us. Nor do we have the maturity to even really reflect on what it was that we were going through. And, you know, a lot of that stayed within the bounds of, we don't talk about what's going on here. We don't talk about, you know, our relationship to other people. And we just kept it bottled up for a very long time. There's an extent to which we didn't even talk to each other about some of the things that we went through together. And, you know, I have a dynamic with my family where, to a large extent, we're very open. Might keep that shit, you know, between us within the family. But with each other, you know, again, not with my dad so much, but, you know, my mom, my brother, we're very open about how we feel. We communicate, we talk. And, you know, I think it was a it was a shock to my family that, you know, when it came to Rachel, they didn't have the right to have input. They didn't have the right to know what was going on. If I wanted to talk to them about something, I would. But also there was a level to which I'm like, no, I'm not going to give you that fuel. Well, you know, one of the things that my mom actually was told by my grandmother, my dad's mom, before they got married was, when you two have a fight, don't go talking to your families. Cool down. You need to talk about it later. Maybe you might do that. But, like, you don't go run to your family and bitch about each other, because you'll get over it and they'll hold on to that shit forever. And so that's kind of how I proceeded for the next 20 years. I'm like, no, we're not going to talk about what problems Rachel and I have. That's none of your business. But problem is, I also didn't go talk to a therapist or anything like that. I was just holding on to this. I didn't talk to any friends, didn't talk to any family. It was just in my head. It was mine to deal with and stew over. And that's not good. And conversely, you know, her family is not necessarily as open with their feelings, but they're very much, how shall I say this? Nosy. And, you know, I was very wary about having, you know, my family as kind of like the third person in our marriage and giving their opinions, trying to dictate what we were doing. And I had a defense up because I knew how that could go based on having those open conversations growing up. That didn't necessarily happen with Rachel's family. So, you know, because there wasn't open communication, there wasn't a separation between us and them. And you know, in part because we were so young, people always had their opinions. People had their opinions. Unfortunately, with the dynamic that she has with her family, a lot of what we wanted to do as a couple got overruled. And, you know, early in our marriage, to be perfectly honest, there were many fights wherein I'm like, okay, I don't want to go that route. Your instinct is to go lean on your parents, ask your parents for help, get their input. But once you do that, then they have a say in what we're doing. And that persisted for the next 20 years. And so, and that, to be fair, that has been a big wedge in our relationship, is me having a say in what we were doing with our relationship and our lives. Her perhaps even having a similar opinion, but out of necessity getting overruled. And, you know, I have about the same level of love loss for some people as I do with some people in my family. You know, it's not everyone. Some people are great. Other people, not so much. And even still, I'm sitting here on this podcast talking about this, but I'm not going to sit here go into detail and shit talk everybody, or necessarily even go into great detail about what the problems were that we had. Because I think it's important that we do talk about the things to try to avoid, the behaviors that we had, but not necessarily the details of what the events or what the issues were, because that isn't your business. And as much as we're trying to be open and sharing, we're trying to be open and sharing about, behaviors, not necessarily details. Some of the stuff that, has happened, I don't know that I will ever talk to anybody about it. Well, a therapist, which, yeah, I'm working on. But no, part of my personality is to not share some things. And I'm never going to. Some things are not for public consumption. But when they exist between two people, you need to deal with them in a healthy way. And unfortunately, for a lot of marriages, that's not what happened. It's frustrating because it's not that we didn't necessarily recognize it. We did. But we love each other. I do love her. But because we love each other, there were aspects of our relationship that we just overlooked and tried to just brush to the side in order to just keep things quiet enough that we didn't have to deal with them in a way that would disturb our relationship. And that that includes my gender. One of the things that we're constantly saying, and it's true, we're not getting divorced because I'm trans. We're not getting divorced because I am trans. That's not the problem. How I dealt with being trans, and I shouldn't even say how I dealt with being trans, but how I functioned as a human being, as a confused and then closeted trans person, by default had an effect. I was fucking awkward for a very long time. I mean, I guess I'm still awkward, but like, I was just uncomfortable in myself and in aspects of our relationship, that I couldn't quite explain why, and I couldn't quite figure out what was going on. And when I did, it all made sense. But, until, 2016, when my egg finally cracked, I didn't understand what it was that was bothering me and making me moody and emotional and awkward in certain situations and just generally uncomfortable. And, Rachel talks about, missing the smiley, happy version of me from when we were younger. And at a certain point, like, that person disappeared. And I think I'm more so that now. And I feel more of myself than I ever have. But the depression that comes with dysphoria, especially when you don't know that it is dysphoria, can be crippling not just for yourself, but for your relationships across the board. And that's definitely what happened with me. And also, as far as, being married, I am not a husband. I felt very uncomfortable kind of being pigeonholed into husbandly duties, if that makes sense. Like, I've talked about, I think I've talked about before on here, I know I have in other places, about just that trope of the doofy, awkward husband that you see in sitcoms all the time. And I don't, it's a chicken and the egg situation. I don't know if that came over to sitcoms from how people function in their relationships in real life or the other way around. But not even that Rachel was kind of viewing me that way, but I definitely felt that from certain corners of like, oh, well, this is Rachel's, dumb husband. And, I mean, I'm critical of men, because a lot of men, broadly speaking, deserve it. But there were a lot of points where I felt like I was being caricatured as something that I wasn't. No, I don't know jack shit about cars. I can change a battery. Yeah, I can follow directions. I can change a light bulb. I like cars. I don't know shit about cars. I know some things about sports. I don't. I'm not a sports person. Much to the chagrin of my family, including my mom. And I tried. I tried to be interested in the things that I'm quote unquote supposed to be interested in. You know, we've mentioned before about me being a Freemason. I went into that trying to find some sort of male friend group, and to some extent I did, but it always felt off because it's not me. I'm not a dude. I'm not. And trying to fit the mold of the traditional husband was fucking hard. Especially because, you know, as the husband, you're supposed to be stoic and strong. And, you know, no, I'm a fucking emotional mess. And my wife and I aren't necessarily dealing with in the most healthy way. And, you know, nobody else is really showing themselves to be open to talk about it either. Because I'm just supposed to be dealing with it. A lot of our problems boil down to not communicating when we should have about things we should have. In an honest way. And, you know, I think what started off as teenage infatuation, and if we were more honest about how we felt and had more open communication, our relationship probably would have ended a long time ago, probably in college. But we were so damn determined to fucking make things work. And, you know, I think there's something noble in that. And like, no, we're gonna persevere, and we're not going to be, you know, the couple that gives up. Because so many people do. They just, you know, very nonchalantly flow in and out of relationships, in and out of marriages. And we were just damn determined to take things seriously. And, you know, we said, last episode, like, there were one or two times Rachel was like, I'm breaking up with you. It was in the middle of a fight. And I'm like, you don't mean that. Can you stop? We're having a fight. This is just a fight. And by the end of the fight, I was like, yeah, no, I'm not breaking up with you. Probably we should have broken up, you know. And honestly, I don't know if that would have been better for either one of us or not. We might have been in a better place. We very well might not have. But it's in the past. And what we're doing now is trying to find a healthy way forward. 'Cause it's not like, you know, oh, everything was bad and we had a terrible marriage. No. No, I really like her. You know, when we say, you know, we are each other's best friends, she's my person. Yeah, she is. And even, you know, though sometimes we didn't communicate in the best way about the things we should have, we definitely are each other's confidants about everything else. Is this hard? Yes. Is this what I wanted? No. And trying to figure out what I'm doing with myself now is difficult. To be perfectly honest, the other day I just had a fucking breakdown. You know, I had a panic attack the other day. And, you know, I'm kind of in a place where I haven't really felt like this since after my mom died. Where I was just so overwhelmed by everything that was going on. Because there's a lot. And fortunately, we're in a much better place as friends that Rachel was able to help me through that. And then once I was out of it, then I was kind of able to like, okay, let me help you with what you've got going on. 'Cause you dealing with me is difficult on you. And you know, it's hard 'cause I'm trying to figure out the rest of my life. I'm trying to figure out what I'm going to do, where I'm going to go. I'm essentially restarting my life. And you know, there's a lot of practical shit. Like I got to figure out, I mean, where I'm going to live, I need to buy essentials for myself that, you know, as a couple, we have. And obviously, I'm taking some things from here. But I'm going to have to, you know, get my own appliances and get my own furniture and, you know, figure out everything on my own that we do together versus splitting the responsibility of life as we have been for the past 14 years, almost 15 years of being married. I mean, and it's not like there wasn't a point when I did that when I was in college. No, I had training wheels in that I was in college. You know, I didn't have to go cook for myself every night, which I mean, that's easy. I can do, but I have to go grocery shopping, all the time alone. Nobody's going to go once, you know, every other week instead of me going. It's stupid shit like that. Just everything I'm going to have to do by myself. And not have assistants doing it. And I'm gonna have to figure out how to pay for all this. And so, you know, I feel like I'm backtracking to right when I was coming out of college, and you know, it's a big step back. And also, before we got married, I actually had a fair amount of savings, which, you know, out of necessity has been used. I probably would have planned better, but this isn't what I planned for. You know, yeah, I've got regrets. I've got, you know, some resentment. I mean, there is a level to which I look at the entirety of our relationship and go, you know, where did I make sacrifices? What did I give up? What did I not pursue? What did I not do in order to maintain our life together that have now gone undone, but now, you know, the relationship that I sacrificed those for is unraveling, you know? And I always hold on to, you know, the Munchkin as, well, here's the end goal. Here's what we got. This is what you sacrificed it for. And it is, but it doesn't mean that it doesn't hurt. It doesn't mean that it doesn't sting. And that's, it comes with the territory. And that's something that I have to work through. And it's not Rachel's fault. It's, you know, we were doing the best that we could. And, you know, I love Rachel. I love her. You know, it took a long time to realize. I'm like, you know, I love you like the way I love my brother. Like, we're family. We just aren't a romantic couple. We're never not going to be in each other's lives. The Munchkin notwithstanding, we would always be in each other's lives. But it's just a matter of what form our relationship takes. You know, I said the other day, so I was talking to a friend about what's going on, and I said to her, I'm like, we spent so much of our lives making small bad decisions in order to keep things going. And it's important we realize we need to stop, but you know, I guess the best way of looking at it is that no, we don't belong in a romantic relationship. We really should live together. And we both love each other, but we've spent years unnecessarily hurting ourselves in an effort to not hurt each other. And realizing that that was, to an extent, unnecessary is hard. And that's difficult to come to terms with. You know, and then on top of that, you know, we do have the Munchkin. And in trying to figure out what I'm doing with the rest of my life, you know, I am worried about her. I spent a fair amount of my early childhood without one of my parents. And I don't want that for her. I don't want to be one of those parents that, you know, when you're 4 or 5, just up and vanishes, and is a stranger. I had that for part of my life, and I cannot do that. It's not in me to walk away from my daughter. And so we're going to have to do a lot of figuring out how we're going to navigate that. I need to figure out what I'm doing with myself, but then we need to work together to figure out how to not have that mean that I'm not in my baby's life, because she's my baby, damn it. And I'm not going to go away. So, you know, that's going to take a lot of soul searching and pondering and work to figure out how to deal with. And that's, no matter what else we do, that is what my focus is going to be on, is, you know, her. That's what I'm working for. So whatever happens to me here on out, whatever I'm doing, she needs to be my focus. And the thing that really made us realize, hey, we need to not be together anymore, is that us functioning as a couple doesn't work to the extent that it was creating an environment that would become very toxic for her. And we don't want that. We both had that. We don't want it for her. So that's what we're going to work on. You know, being friends, being family, co-parenting, staying on the same page so that we can raise our daughter in the healthiest, most productive way possible so that she is a well-adjusted person. And creating a healthier lifestyle for the both of us so that we can do that. And if we can impart to her whatever lessons we've learned as a couple on what to do, what not to do, how to be a healthy person in a relationship, how to take care of yourself and be a healthy individual in ways that we didn't necessarily do, and impart to her the hard-fought lessons that we had to learn along the way, then all of this will have been worth it. So, I mean, that's kind of my take on it. I'm looking at the timer, realizing that I've went a little longer than Rachel did, because I'm long-winded. But that's what editing's for. So, thank you for listening to me ramble. And cut just in a second to wrap this up. Hello again, Rachel. How are you?
I'm back.
What is with the maniacal laughing?
I don't know. I've just assumed the role of villain.
Oh, okay. That's what we're going with?
Yeah, sure.
Okay. Sure. All right. So, in any case, we hope that you enjoyed this episode. We know it was a little bit different.
Yes. We promise we won't do it again. Unless everybody likes it really well, and then maybe we'll only do it again.
Yeah.
What?
Well, I got nothing. I'm all talked out.
I know you got nothing. That's why you're still here.
Damn, lady. Damn.
Oh, don't give me the puppy dog eyes.
Villain. So. Is that talking about the sickness?
After I did it, it kind of sounded like that, didn't it?
Careful, Rachel. We don't have the copyright. We don't have the kind of money for that.
I think there's an extra syllable in the Down With The Sickness one.
Oh, okay. So it's kind of a Vanilla Ice type get out of jail free card?
Yeah.
It was an extra ding. I didn't use it. Oh, okay. That's fine. So that's what's going on with us. Little truth in the creation process. We recorded that days ago, but, you know, we weren't able to sit down together because the munchkin wouldn't let us. But now she's asleep. Ha!
This is true.
And now I'm actually going to get my chocolate milk. So, yeah. That's it.
Okay. Well, thanks for listening, everybody.
Yes, thank you very much.
We will talk again soon. And I am Rachel.
And I am Shannon.
And this has been another delightful episode of Our Life in Transition.
Bye. Bye. Toodles.
Thank you again for listening to Our Life in Transition.
This show is hosted by Rachel and Shannon McDill.
Our producer and editor is Shannon McDill.
Our theme music is Seize the Day by Jens Kilsoft.
Support us on Patreon at patreon.com/olitpod. That's /OLITPOD.
Your support makes this show possible. Thank you.